going on, comic fam, and welcome to another episode of the C-List Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. I am your host, E-Man, of the C-List Villains, along with my C-List Villain brother. We got C-List Villainous Red right over here to my right. And special guest tonight, we have our boy, Man of the Hour, my friend, TJ, Mr. Flash by Night Comics. Thank you so much for joining us, TJ.
A.K.A. C-List guest.
TJ, the C-List guest. He's our A-lister, actually, tonight. You're our A-list guest tonight, TJ. What's going on? You are our A-lister, my friend. What's up, Red?
What's up?
How you been, man?
Happy free Cinco de Mayo, bitches!
dude, it's gonna be nuts out here on Friday. Since Cinco de Mayo's on a Friday, so like it's gonna be crazy over here in the Bay Area. How are the celebrations over there in the Valley, Red? Are you gonna do anything on Friday for Cinco de Mayo?
Yeah, I'm gonna watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
That is how you celebrate Cinco de Mayo.
Like the POC.
Like a true American Latino. What about you, TJ? Are there any parties going on for Cinco de Mayo down where you're from?
Nothing noticeable. I don't think there's anything like locally. I'm surprised there isn't, but it may be because I'm not close to, like, there may be parts of the culture that are in Montgomery, but I don't know about. But as a general thing, I don't think there's anything big going on.
Yeah, because I think the only Latinos that really are mostly populated in area plus Florida are Cubans.
Yeah, like Cubans, Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, like out in Florida. Mexicans down in Texas and California and Arizona. But yeah.
Louisiana, but when you get down towards the southeast, it's definitely, your Puerto Ricans and your Cubans.
And they don't celebrate Cinco de Mayo. That's an American Mexican thing. Like that's, you know what they do in Mexico on Cinco de Mayo? Live. It's just another day to them. They don't even celebrate that shit down there. It's just like celebrating St. Patrick's Day out in Ireland. Like they don't fucking do anything about that. They're just like, it's fucking another day to us. I don't understand. Like,
I only learned that like 3 or 4 years ago. that it's not actually a day in Mexico. It's the day we have pinned, but apparently, what is it? Is it kind of the Independence Day?
No, sort of? Independence Day for Mexico is out in September. So September 16th, I believe.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's what Cinco de Mayo is supposed to be. But we've got the wrong date or something. I don't know.
We got the wrong date. We'll just still celebrate on Cinco de Mayo. We'll just choose a date, But it's cool because like Cinco de Mayo, For the nerds out there, it's just a weekend celebration because it starts with May the 4th. It starts with May the 4th be with you. And that's when the celebration starts. That's when the nerdiness starts right there, right? Right. So, and then it bleeds.
Yeah, what are you trying to say? What race in Star Wars best represents Mexicans?
Chewbacca, because his name is Chewie. He's the only Mexican in Star Wars. Or the Ewoks because they're short and brown. Ewoks, yeah. So Filipinos can claim Ewoks. Ayun, maganda. Because did you know that they speak Tagalog and Vietnamese in Return of the Jedi? TJ, did you know that there was like our people language and other people languages?
I did not know that.
Yeah, the Ewoks in Return of the Jedi is nuts. Some of the words are in Tagalog, some of the words are in Cambodian.
Filipino little people to play them. That's why.
Yeah. There was actual Filipino little people playing some of the Ewoks, dude. So like we hold
that just, to our heart. They kind of just snuck the representation in there.
Oh yeah.
Didn't tell anybody.
There wasn't enough little people in probably Britain, so they had to sneak them in from Asia. Where else?
Ayun, maganda.
That guy.
So it starts with May the 4th, and it bleeds into Cinco de Mayo. Then all of a sudden, you know, everyone goes from being a Star Wars nerd to being Mexican, right? Like, just like that, 24 hours. And then May the 6th, right, is Revenge of the Sixth. And everyone now is all of a sudden, everyone's a Sith. Even all the Jedis that were Jedis on May the 4th are now all of a sudden Sith.
So excuse you, the day after you eat all those tacos and now you're just shitting. So there's Revenge of the Shit.
So I've always heard it be May the 4th be with you and then Revenge of the 5th. So you're telling me that some people skip the 5th and go Revenge of the 6th?
Yeah, see I hear Revenge of the 5th. Yeah. I hear Revenge of the 5th and I hear Revenge of the 6th. But the way I see it, look, screw it. Just look, everyone's...
Rule of twos. Isn't that what they call it? The rule of twos or whatever?
Isn't it the rule of threes? Like, things happen in threes?
No, we're talking about...
I think the rule that the Sith have where there's always two.
Oh, that's right. No, no more, no less. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the fifth and sixth actually works.
Revenge of the 5th, Revenge of the 6th. Look, they can only have one day. Let the Mexicans have one of those days, okay? So let's just look, my people need to have that one celebration. We'll let them have that, okay? So May the 5th.
What if one of the Sith is Mexican?
Ooh, then he gets to celebrate like all 3 days. That guy's fucking cool. he's Juan Solo on May the 4th. He's Juan on Cinco de Mayo, right? And then like he's Darth Juan like on Revenge of the Sixth. Like it works for him. Like that dude, like he conquers that weekend.
I will say I saw this today, and I don't know how old this is, but now that we have the Mandalorian, someone said on May 1st, this is the May. And so now you have a whole week.
This is the May. That's new. I haven't heard this one. I have not heard this.
I just saw that today. I stole it from somebody and they can't find me.
Look, it's Asian Pacific Islander month right now in May, right? But I would, if it starts with this is the May, like I'm very much okay with it. You know what I don't understand? This is the whole Justin Timberlake, like it's May. Like, I don't understand what that is. Have you seen those memes? Where I guess there was a song that he sang back in the day and it was like all about May, or it's starting May or some shit like that. And then like there's all these memes that I saw on April 30th that was like, hey, May's coming or some shit like that. Red's looking for it. I hope you're looking for it right now.
I got it right here.
What is it? What? I don't understand this one.
Give me a second. Here we go.
It's gonna be May.
It's gonna be May.
No, I like May the 1st. I like this is the May better.
That's wait, is that me, but like sped up, it sounds like May?
Yes.
Okay.
It's the song. But wait, Justin Timberlake had pronounced it. Sounds like May.
I was like, what does Cry Me a River have to do with May? I was trying to put two and two together.
And look who just joined. What's up?
And wearing the A's cap, going to the Las Vegas Athletics.
That sucks. Dude. So what's up, Luke?
I don't want to hear that slander.
I miss you. I miss you, brother. I miss you, man.
Yeah, it's so good to see you.
Good seeing you. TJ, Flesh by Night Comics. Go ahead and meet Luke, RKFA Comics. Luke, TJ.
TJ.
How are we doing?
We wanted TJ on tonight because TJ is actually a Transformer fan. And he's actually pretty knowledgeable on the comic book side, and that's why I wanted him to come on board tonight, you guys, to help us break down the Rise of the Beast trailer, hopefully from more of a comic book side of it, you know, seeing it through his eyes, and I want to know what he sees compared to what we see, because TJ, you grew up on the cartoons as well, right? As well as the comics, right?
No, I grew up on the cartoons. I am pretty fresh to the comics myself.
Mm-hmm. More than you.
I'm just getting into the comics. Because I wanted to get into the comics.
Yeah, there's a couple of team ups with them and G.I. Joe and some other Marvel characters. I think there's also a team of a Spider-Man in a few issues. So definitely.
Let's see. The Spider-Man crossover is issue 3 of Marvel. But yeah, there's been a couple of G.I. Joe Transformer crossovers. And then IDW went crazy and like crossed over with Ghostbusters and Back to the Future and My Little Pony.
Oh yeah, My Little Pony is
up. Ever so.
You can't keep up.
Right, right.
There was
now IDW has crossed out Transformers, and I'm waiting for whoever's going to give us this next great run sometime soon.
So it's Skybound, to my understanding. Skybound and Image ended up getting the new run. So I'm going to jump on that one myself. I'm going to follow it from, because it's like a fresh start, and I want to know what Kirkman's going to do with it right there. So there's a lot of people already. Well, I shouldn't say a lot. There's four people in here, but there's people in the chat already who came through. Misso's in the house.
Is it going to be Livio?
I don't know. It'd be tight if it's Livio. Remondelli?
Yeah,
that would be sick if he's doing some of the stuff, some of the internal. Slum Boards is in the house. Yo, Luther. Comics Beyond Us, what is up? Thank you so much for joining us, man. I really appreciate you coming through. So yeah, you know, TJ
hey,
got into the comic side of it all, and I was like watching a lot of his, you know, one shots and how he's been reviewing some of the comics. And he actually got me really curious about Shattered Glass and Megatron's comics. So because of TJ, I definitely want to dive into those right there. And that's the reason why I want you to bring him on board.
Hold on, let me get TJ's opinion here. What do you think of the Michael Bay Transformers movies? Go.
Not that you're on the spot.
I didn't. They definitely weren't accurate, but I didn't hate them enough not to watch them.
Okay.
I will take my live action Transformers content how I can get it. Hopefully it'll get better soon enough. Side note, it gives me hope that I can get a live action Voltron sometime soon. But that's not what we're here for.
Right. I mean, I'm still waiting for the live action like Gundam, Voltron, like Macross. Like those would be super dope. And I think we have the technology for that. I'm just a sucker for transforming mechs. I've always been a sucker for that.
That was the first thing that hit my mind when I heard that there would be live action Transformers. I'm like, okay, if we can do live action Transformers, we can do live action Voltron.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have the technology.
Well, friend of the show, John Jang, did draw Pacific Rim. is what exactly is Gundam and
mech. I mean, it's basically like Voltes and Godzilla put together, right? Is pretty much what Pacific Rim was, right? It's just kaijus and robots, and that was just fucking fantastic.
Yeah, as long as the Guillermo del Toro is writing it, I'm all for it.
Right. Cryo Prime, what's up, man? Thanks for coming through. Look at yo, Transformers, let's go. Let's do this.
Now, I will tell you one thing, and I know that this burns E-Man's bacon. But I was watching a couple of clips of Dark of the Moon. Oh. And I know the line that he hates.
Oh, yes. Yes.
I know the line he hates.
Yes,
but there's something about that last part when everything is going to trash, and Prime gets down and kind of skates through all of this Decepticons and kind of has the fight that leads to Shockwave. There's something about Prime coming into the fight that I have to at least acquiesce to.
When he came through and his eyes were purple, I thought he was coming in looking like Nemesis, and I thought that they were going to go in that direction. And I'm honestly glad that they didn't turn him into Nemesis Prime at that time. And yes, there was that one line. What's the line, TJ? I know you know it. What's the one line Prime says that I hate?
We'll kill them all.
Yes. Optimus Prime does not say anything about harming human. Even Peter Cullen himself was like, I'm not saying this. And then they pretty much forced him to say it. So yeah. Cryo Prime is asking, if he's not mistaken, did IDW stop the IDW? is what he's saying.
Yeah, he lost the license to Transformers, and
yeah. So we just talked about this. Comics Beyond Us is that it looks like Skybound and Image are going to be taking over the reins of a new Transformer comic, and I believe it's supposed to start next year. To my from what I read before,
do they get the whole is it Hasbro license or something?
I think they have. I mean, they should have enough to be able to create a new comic book or continue on with the comic book. I thought there was a live Voltron years ago, B movie version. No, I don't remember that one, Miss O. I know that they had redone Voltron, I think, twice. One of them was a really good Netflix film. So if you guys haven't seen the Netflix one, watch that one. Fantastic.
The Netflix show was definitely. I missed a couple of the nostalgic things. The form blazing sword and the music, I miss those, but you kind of understand that, yeah, that you're not going to get that back for the most
least,
part.
At least one time, you know, or at least a nod to the to the music, right? Da, 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 da. Like this started off, like that's okay, right. You know.
Even well, you know, in the last, I think it's the last season when they finally defeated Zartan and Lotor. And they came back to Planet Eris, and everything was at peace, and they were heroes. That's funny with the halftime thing on the ticker. But,
thanks, Red. I was trying not to pay attention.
So they came back to Planet Eris, and they're heroes, and kids are, like, watching Voltron on TV, but the Voltron they're watching on TV is the OG Voltron.
Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty good a pretty good nod.
I loved it. Look at Comics Beyond Us. The recent Power Rangers movie where they brought back some of the old crew was actually really decent. It wasn't bad. It was pretty good. I like
the reboot, but the actual bring back the old team A and team B.
Yeah, that's what I know. I know a lot of the our friends in the comic community who are huge Power Ranger fans. They were super doped about that movie, and they were like, yeah, you know what, it's really for the fans. It was fine, it worked out. So as long as the fans actually enjoyed it, that's really what matters, because it seemed like it was fan service for sure. It's one of those things, yeah, where it was, you know, let's just tie everything together.
Saban's right. still didn't really put the money in for the CGI. The CGI still looked like it came from Nickelodeon.
Yeah exactly.
For centuries, our kind has stayed hidden on Earth. But darkness has found us again. Prime.
Ooh.
This is about the fate of all living things. Unicron is coming.
Ooh. Yes!
Chase Davis!
I was Space like, what is coming?
It won't stop! Back up!
Oh, I thought we were boys.
You want it? Come and get it.
You brought a human here.
I'm nobody. I ain't even seen nothing. I'm not even seeing anything right now.
Think you hold the mic? Can you
the Terracon.
This is not our war.
How big can this guy be?
He eats planets. So, like, way bigger than a planet.
Oh, look at that. Double gun.
In the end, everything you cared for will be consumed.
Maybe there's another way to save our home.
You've never faced anything like this. Let them come.
Oh.
Noah, take the wheel.
Right here.
Yeah, baby! me.
That looks so dope to me. I like all the nostalgia, everything, all the feels came back. So, Red, this is your first time watching it. What do you think? Just your thoughts on the trailer itself. Let's not break it down, but how are you feeling right now, Red?
Oh, I'm underwhelmed.
You're underwhelmed?
Underwhelmed. Like, what was that? I think it was just the sound coming from your computer, or I don't know, man. It lacks star power for me. And the fact that they're trying to be hit with the music and the other stuff, it's just like, man, it just feels like another Michael Bay production.
Okay. I hear you. What about you, Luke? What are your thoughts?
It's going to be a spectacle.
I like how chill he was with that delivery. It's going to be a spectacle.
You know, I'll take the kids. It'll be fun. Will I remember what happened in the second act? No, but it'll be fun.
Like, do I need to watch Bumblebee and all that stuff before I get to this
movie? Here's the thing. This is technically a sequel to Bumblebee. You know, but what happens in Bumblebee, it's basically, you know, you can kind of figure it out anyway. You know, it's Bumblebee pretty much watching over a child, and the child becomes friends with Bumblebee, and they go on an adventure and they save the world. And it's kind of basic, but the Autobots didn't show up until like later on. Do you need to watch it? It'd probably be a good idea to watch it. What's going on? Comics and Pops, Team Nerd Herd in the house. Look at that coming through. TJ, my friend.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the trailer?
I am excited and nervous. The further we go along, and I won't get too deep now, but I'm still wondering exactly what they're going to do with Unicron and how they're going to nail it and what it's going to mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outside of that, this is why I really wanted TM on, because I don't know anything about Beast Wars. Yeah. I know a smidge. Yeah. But I wanted to know what a Predacon versus a Terracon is, because this will be my first real dip into Beast Wars.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch Beast Wars all the way through?
No, I couldn't stand it. Mm-hmm. It was like early 2000s, or was it?
No, early 90s. Wait. Early 90s CGI.
Yeah. Plus, it was always at 6 in the morning for some reason when we were still going to school. Like, why are you putting Transformers at 6 o'clock in the morning? But to TJ, it's like, are you expecting that they're going to treat Unicron like they treated Galactus in the Fantastic Rise of the Silver Surfer movie?
I think they'll treat Unicron. You can already see Unicron in the trailer. That's already far beyond Galactus and Fantastic Four. But I'm interested in whether or not he's going, like Unicron is coming, but Unicron doesn't really do any damage in this movie, because the climax of whatever Unicron is Unicron, I assume, I don't know if they'll do this, but turning into a gigantic planet-sized robot. But once you do that, like, where else do you go?
Okay.
And how soon do you pull out that card as a movie creator?
Let's we'll get into that. We'll get into that a little bit later. I want to hit it broken down into a couple of topics here.
Will it top the cartoon? Beast Boy's performance as Unicron back in the 1986 cartoon.
We'll see. Well, no. Leonard Nimoy was not Unicron. That was Orson Welles. Leonard Nimoy was Galvatron.
Galvatron.
Look. Come on.
I think trying to get the cartoon feeling, I think is I won't say a fool's errand, but I think you'll look past what's current. trying to see the cartoon, because certain things you can't get back.
Yeah.
Certain feelings you can't get back. Even if they do Unicron, well, like you won't ever get like let's say Unicron transforms into the giant planet sized robot. You won't get that feeling you had when he did it back in 86
and said,
I once considered sparing your wretched little Cybertron. But now your witness is dismemberment. Like if they drop that line, it won't mean the same, at least for us.
Okay.
Now, there's 20-year-olds who are going to be like, but for us.
We'll get into that. We'll get into all of that right here in a little bit. But like, let's go ahead and touch on some of the things first. Let's touch on the character design, because we're looking at Unicron and we're like, you know what? Is he going to touch on what he looked like in the movie? And honestly, from what we've seen already, it looks like he is. I mean, like, look, if I was going to watch a movie and I wanted to see Unicron in the movie, I want to see my Unicron. And it looks like they have the better idea of what he's supposed to look like here. Now, I don't think this is Earth, because
it looks like the ring around Unicron. Uh-huh. Isn't that also?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is that ring around Unicron is the same ring that he had, which created his wings in the movie. So
right.
I'm digging the designs of a lot of these characters. So I want to get into the design right here, because one thing that a lot of people hated about the Bayverse were the designs of the movie, of the characters. They're like, you know what? They look too much like Bionicles. And as soon as they came up, there was a lot of talk about how they look like Bionicles. But then we got the Bumblebee movie. And at the very beginning of the Bumblebee movie, man, we got a war on Cybertron, and we had Transformers that a lot of people who were fans truly appreciated and have been saying, you know what? I want a movie that looks just like this. The first 10 minutes of Bumblebee was like the best live action or CGI version of the Transformers that I've seen.
Agreed. You know,
so that's what we want, is we want designs to stay true. We want design, and I'm going to say we, because I'm one of those fans that was like, I really want nostalgia. So let's look at Primal. Optimus Primal right here, he looks menacing. He looks nuts. He looks crazy. Now, I didn't really get to watch Beast Wars myself, but man, Beast Wars was definitely loved by a lot of the people who grew up in the 90s, because the storytelling in Beast Wars was so much better than G1 Transform. I'll admit it. Now, I like how Primal looks here. He looks like a straight up gorilla that's going to kill somebody.
Well, it is voiced by Ron Perlman, so it has to look like Ron Perlman a little bit.
Yeah, and he does have that Ron Perlman look. I get it.
Now, he needs Optimus, a cigar.
It's that massive chin.
Optimus looks, I think he looks so much better in these movies than he did in the Bayverse. I actually like these designs for Optimus so much better. I think it just looks fantastic and exactly what I want as a fan. And this is why I want a TM here. Look, Cheetor looks so sick in this poster right here, and I'm really loving the look that they gave him. So, yeah, I really wish that we had some more Beast Wars fans on here talking about it. And then one of my favorites, and you know, I have a huge heart for RC, and she looks absolutely fantastic. She looks just like the cartoon. It raises the question.
That's my Optimus right there.
Is this? Yeah, that's my Optimus too. It raises the question of, is this movie more fan service, or are they actually going to do some good world building? Luke, what do you think?
Well, supposedly, and this is my other thing, and I leave the planet alone, but supposedly this may be the first part of a trilogy. If that is the case, that does leave a lot of room for world building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Red.
Well, let Luke finish his thought.
Luke.
Oh, that was it.
Luke, so you think it's fan service?
No, I know. That was just kind of a silly comment. I don't... I don't even know. I don't know how much they even care too much about the fans. It doesn't seem like they do that much. They just put it out there.
Yeah, I'll piggyback on that. It's a huge cash grab just for Hasbro to just keep putting out movies that we as original fans would like or would hate. it's like same thing for the G.I. Joes, because see how the origins of Snake Eyes went, and that was a shitty rendition of that, and then Michael Bay running through like four or five movies of Transformers before Bumblebee was produced by him and not directed.
Yeah. He produced this one too, but he didn't direct it, so it's not his vision. He right. has input, but he doesn't have the vision. You know, it's the director.
The technology's there, the animation's there for us, and it's definitely catching on newer fans and disappointing older fans. But you know, we're still gonna watch it and still complain about it.
Honestly, as an older fan, who is absolutely in love with the G1 world, I think that these are some of the best designs in any of the Transformer movies, any of them. I don't like Bumblebee's design, but RC is almost to the T, Optimus to the T, Unicron to the T, the Maximals, perfect. However, we do have some discrepancies, right? we do have some discrepancies because, look.
Where's my guy?
I think they did Wheeljack wrong.
Somebody has to take one for the team.
They did Wheeljack so wrong. So the bottom two images right there, that's from the Bumblebee movie. The bottom right, of course, that's RC. And then to the right of that, she looks pretty close. You know, the pink and the white with the helmet is pretty close. I thought the Cybertronian RC looks fantastic. And then the bottom left is Wheeljack. That is the Wheeljack that I grew up on. And we, who the fuck is this nerd right here with glasses? Like, what?
I'm wondering, and this is, I have a penchant for giving people the benefit of the doubt until I get proven wrong. I wonder if something happened to Wheeljack to where whatever this is how he survived or whatever the body he found, whatever. Because I can't explain how you had Wheeljack.
Yes. You had Wheeljack.
And you said this is a sequel. And then you come up with this other Wheeljack. Like that. I think that there has to be a reason. I don't know what the reason is. I'm hoping there's a reason. My mind builds this bridge for me. We'll see what happens in this movie. But Wheeljack definitely took one for the team.
They did Wheeljack so wrong.
It looks like Marlon Blackman.
I was.
It looks like Spike Lee. The actor that plays him too. The actor's playing him is Crystal Fernandez.
I got questions. Why did they do that to Wheeljack? Like, I thoroughly believe that that's a Michael Bay decision right there. I thoroughly believe that Michael Bay, I'm blaming Michael Bay on this one right here.
Like, we need one original design. Now, who's going to take the ill?
Yeah, exactly.
Bumblebee's not taking the ill. RC's not taking the ill because you don't want to fight that fight. Optimus is not taking the L because he's Optimus. Exactly. Wheeljack, you have got to take one for the team.
I just don't understand why they did Wheeljack so wrong with that one.
My head says there has to be a reason, but I don't know if we'll actually get a reason. He might just pop up with glasses. But hey, doesn't this look better?
See, and there's so many more questions. So again, like, I grew up on the G1 version of Transformers, and now we're introducing the Terracons. And in the Transformers, Terracons were kind of put together by Starscream, and they combined into Abominus, which was, you know, another big robot right there. Do you think we're going to get any combiners in this movie?
No, not this movie.
No.
I think between Unicron and the two enemy factions, that I think trying to get a combiner into this movie is too much.
Red, what do you think?
I didn't see any anything that clued me into that. I didn't see any combiners in there.
Luke?
Oh, that's a really good question, actually. Are they going? Are we going to get any supers? Oof. I'm going to say yes.
That I think it would be cool if we do. I think it would be awesome if we see Abominus, to see a better combiner than we did with Devastator. Devastator. Devastator was like the awesomest combiner, and they did him wrong in that second movie, which was like, I hated
it. He's like the OG combiner. And I'm like, where did y'all get this dog from?
Yes, exactly. So now, would I like to see it? Yes. Is it going to happen? Probably not, even though we might have the pieces there. I think it would be super, super cool if we had a combiner. Now, this is what I think. You know, I got questions here. Like, who are the Terracons and who are the Predacons in this movie? So if you don't know, TJ, the Predacons are pretty much the Decepticons of Beast Wars. That was their faction.
Right.
Right, they were the Decepticons. You had Megatron, who was a dinosaur. You know, you had some of his, you know, other minions right there, right? But that's who they were. And then the Terracons, again, it was a group of Transformers that combined into a bigger one named Abominus. But it seems more like the Terracons are going to be Unicron's minions, and to me, because a lot of people are talking about Scorponok being in this movie. To me, it feels like the Predacons are going to be more like Insecticons, just a bunch of like other random foot soldiers. And I think that's what's going to happen, is that they're pushing Predacons, but we have no voice for it. Like, if you look on IMDb and you look on Wikipedia, there are no voices for any of the Predacons. So I'm thinking that they're more of like the foot soldiers.
So the Terracons in Beast Wars, the Terracons aren't a separate faction.
Terracons are.
I know the Terracons that were like the jungle animals that were combiners. I know those from the G1.
Yeah, but those are the ones that.
But you're saying that. So you're thinking about those.
Yes. Robots. Yes.
I was wondering if the Terracons were an offshoot of the Predacons in Beast Wars. Didn't know whether or not it was a second faction.
No. Okay. They were like their own group, kind of like how the Constructicons were their own group, and you know, the Aerial Bots were their own group. They were kind of like that right there. So there's too many things going on, and what I'm really hoping is that they're not doing too much with this movie, even though it seems like there's already a lot that we're trying to unpack right now.
Yeah, I'm hoping that I like seeing Unicron. I'm hoping that Unicron ends up being more of a looming threat than an actual threat, and you get time for Autobots and Maximals versus Predacons and Terracons.
It looks like right here. I think this is Unicron attacking a planet. I don't think this is Earth. But this honestly, this kind of reminds me of ID4, you know, Independence Day, when you have the alien ships opening up. That's what this looks like right here to me. But I get it.
Are the people on top of the building?
I think you know what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if they are like right there, kind of in the middle, right there. I'm wondering if they're pushing. Now here's the thing.
Elvis.
Now here's another scene right here. I thought that this was going to be Megatron because of his arm, but looking at the character design and then looking further into the toys, this is obviously Scourge. And remember the cartoon movie, Unicron turns Thundercracker into Galvatron's Scourge. So there's definitely that connection. At least we have that connection there from G1. But
Scourge, what the tracker.
Yeah, Scourge, the tracker, exactly. Now, here's a tidbit right here that I ended up finding. Check this out. All right, this is what tripped me out. So this is Scourge right here, right? The cartoon design is the one right, or I'm sorry, the movie design is right there in the middle. Here's the thing. He kind of looks like a Bionicle. And I'm not sure about his design and how he turns into a truck, but look at Scourge on the bottom right. That's the tracker. And then Scourge on the bottom left is from Robots in Disguise. That's the Optimus Prime evil opposite, just like how Nemesis Prime is. They were right, formed kind of the same way.
Part of the sweeps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so, and then...
I've seen a couple of people ask about Optimus Prime ending up being Scourge or ending up somehow related to Scourge. I didn't know about the Robots in Disguise. That's interesting.
Yeah, so in Robots in Disguise, which is a 2000 Japanese only, well, not Japanese only because it came, but it was a 2000-2001 animated cartoon, and Megatron pretty much had like one of those robots. Remember those robots that scanned other trucks and then like they would turn into that particular truck, right? So like Optimus's robot went ahead and scanned a truck and it turned him into Optimus. Well, Megatron had one of those. And what he ended up doing was he actually scanned Optimus. And he programmed that robot to be evil. So when that robot came about, he was born as like an evil Optimus in Robots in Disguise, which was really cool because he was a psycho. Like, I really liked his character, not because he was just like a, you know, Optimus clone, but it was because he was freaking psycho.
Megatron, his ideas.
What was the double changers called, or like the double agent
robots? I don't want to say spy bot because it sounds cheesy. I remember what you're talking about. Okay. Because they were double changers. They were like double agents and stuff like that. Look at this though. I was trying to bring up Scourge, but look at this. So this is his toy description directly from Hasbro right here. You know, they're talking about who he is and whatnot, what leader class he is. Scourge and the Terracons face off against the Autobots in the battle for the Transwarp Key.
Mm.
So I think that's a huge plot point in the movie because this is what I'm thinking. Now we're going to get into this part right here. You know, hyping up the hypothesis right here. Now we're going to start talking about, you know, what we think about the plot. And I think the plot of this movie is this.
There is Thor: Love and Thunder, right?
There is stolen
from Harry Potter, which is the, what do you call it? The port keys is the trophy.
What? No, stop, Red. What are you doing?
Transwarp key is the only way. It's the only way Unicron can get to from here to there.
That's the
other side of the galaxy.
That's the space bridge. Space bridge, which they tried to do in the last movie, which I hated. But the transwarp key does have to do with time travel, which there's talks that Scourge is that evil Scourge that I was talking about, where they scanned Optimus of the future and they came back in the past. That's why the Maximals say that they've been there for hundreds of years. Bumblebee and the Autobots just landed there like in the mid-80s. Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of time jump that happens in this movie, and I think it has to do with that transwarp key. I believe that the Terracons are hired on, and they're Unicron's minions. They have to come to Earth and steal that transwarp key, and I think what they're trying to do is revive Megatron, because Megatron is already on the planet, assuming that this has anything to do with the Bayformers. This is what one of the hypotheses is. I hate you, Red. okay, maybe that's too far-fetched. Okay, I'll stop. But yeah, there is a plot point that's out there, and I think it kind of slipped with regards to his toy. His toy gave away a lot with just saying that right there.
Can I mention that I hate toys in reference to movies? Toys are the bane of my no spoiler existence.
And I get now, it, right? I get it because
That is a very, we got to unpack that statement because that is a profound statement. Can you unpack that for us a little bit?
So I found that and it may have been like this before, but it feels like the last 2 or 3 years, you can find the toys for every character, whether or not the character should be known, but every character and every important thing in certain movies. And I feel like toys give movies away in a sense. For instance, I'm really looking forward to the Flash movie. I am still holding out hope that the reverse Flash, Eobard Thawne, is who's really, really pulling the strings. But we've known for at least a month or two that there is a dark Flash in the movie. And we know because the toys came out. And I guess you can't stop it. You have to sell the toys.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. Remember, years ago, Lego Star Wars ended up spoiling, I think, episode 7 and episode 8 by bringing out some things there, too. So, yeah, I understand TJ's saying.
It was the Funko for the Black Panther movie that they showed Shuri as a Black Panther.
I want to
say Funko is maybe like 75% of the culprit. Whenever I see something given away, it's usually a Funko thing that came out in advance of the movie.
Now with Scourge itself, right? So going to Scourge, his toy didn't spoil anything because we get his design, which is weird because I don't see how he transforms into a full grown robot, you know, or a full grown truck. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It's the description that actually gave it away. Whereas some other toys, like you said, give full on spoilers, like Shuri as Black Panther, you know, like Rey as a Jedi.
But like the trans warp key. So you're digging into hypotheses and things of that nature. If I see the trans warp key, because I'm not trying to figure out things in advance. So if I see a description that includes a trans warp key, like, oh, it's a trans warp key. I wonder what that's gonna be. And I keep going by my day. But something, for instance, where you have a toy that is Shuri as the Black Panther. Like you can't just ignore that.
Yeah.
And usually the important character will have the important artifact or whatever of the movie, because that character is going to be using it at some point.
Right. But like I said, you've got to sell toys, and it is what the industry is. I try and close my eyes whenever I see toy things.
I get it, because I'm actually looking forward to this Transformer movie, and I personally don't want anything spoiled, you know. But we did get a huge spoiler because I didn't even know Unicron was going to be in until I saw the trailer, and my jaw dropped.
Same here. I'm like, who's coming?
And then to see his design is actually almost true to the Unicron that I knew. Like, yes, I think Luke's right. You know, just like Spider-Man, just like Endgame, I think this is a lot of fan service. I think this movie's just going to be a dumb summer blockbuster, mindless action. But this one's actually going to have the fan service that Transformer fans really want. Now, is it going to be a good story, a good plot? That's one thing I don't know. I'm hoping that it's going to touch on what we loved before, and hopefully it carries through. And really says, you know what, you Transformer fans who've actually been there, let's go ahead and do this one for you. And that's at the end of the movie, that's really what I'm hoping for. Like, look, just treat me right. Oof. That's really what I'm looking for. You know, just treat me right as a Transformer fan who's been there literally since the beginning.
Okay, looking at the director, it's what's his name? Stephen Caple Jr. He hasn't directed a lot, but he's his main title that he did was Creed 2.
Creed 2.
And Creed 2 is a big thing, too. Like, Creed 2 did really good.
Other than that, he did a couple of sitcoms.
And you know what? Comics Beyond Us is actually, I'm surprised, too, that there hasn't really been too many spoilers. I think Marvel knows. They know how to market. That's why. They know exactly what they're doing.
James Gunn and the cast It feels like I haven't opened any of the articles, but it feels like they are dying to say something, but they know they can't and they know they shouldn't. But it feels like they're ready to bust open with spoilers any minute now.
Well, it's that NDA face. They perfected it.
Yeah, yeah. And remember this too. Like a lot of the times, Marvel's trailers are usually like everything that happens in the trailer usually happens like within the first half hour of the movie. So there's a whole lot that they haven't really told us. They've learned, you know.
All I know is that everybody who's seen it has said I need to bring Kleenex with me.
Yeah.
And so they say it's going to be a good time, but I'm probably not going to leave with a dry face.
Yeah. I think that this is definitely it's a whole thing, right? It's a swan song for a lot of the characters and James Gunn, who's moving on from the MCU and creating his own universe. And he's going to leave a huge, huge mark. And I absolutely love what Kevin Feige said. He's going to DC. Guess what? I'm watching all of his movies because that's what it's about. It's about the fans enjoying a movie. And I'm looking forward to seeing what James Gunn is going to do, not just with the ending of Guardians, but what he's going to do with the DCU. However, unfortunately, we have that writer strike right now. Look what happened in 2007. A lot of projects actually screwed a lot of things up. So I'm hoping that this gets resolved.
They've learned from that. So they were stockpiling scripts already prior to the strike because what happened in 2007, they didn't do the stocking.
Yeah.
And so, like, shows like The Office and Heroes and Chuck and whatever else really got
Heroes and Lost. Oh, Lost a huge hit from that. Dexter, too, I believe. Dexter got hit. So, and that's one thing I'm worried. I'm hoping that they do stockpile, or at least for the next 2 to 3 months, instead of focusing on the script, like, work more on production. Right. Let's say, OK, look, we've already done this part. Let's go ahead and focus on what we already have. Let's not add to anything just yet. Let's just make what we have better until they're ready to come back, you know, instead of trying and forcing a story. Right. Because that's what happened with James Bond and the Quantum of Solace. Like the first half of that movie was interesting. And then it was right afterwards.
Totally.
Can I ask the Miss Souls question about Guardians and Transformers? Because so and this is not technically a Guardians Transformers crossover answer. But since Marvel has had the Transformers property before, I would love for them to have the Transformers property again, or at least have the license to put Unicron up against Galactus in some kind of story. It doesn't have to be long term. You can just borrow the license for a month or two, give me my Unicron versus Galactus, and then put it back.
Oh shit, Planet Eater versus Planet Eater.
Right. Oh. With Earth in the middle.
the fight for Earth.
They would have done it with Rom as well, because Rom is also a Hasbro property.
Right.
I don't think Hasbro wants to share with Marvel any of the titles that they had with them previously. It would be a great idea.
So here's a good question. This is what a lot of people have been bringing in about the trailer is the music that they chose, right? Because DMX's Rough Rider Anthem didn't even come out until 98, and yet this movie's set in 94, right? Biggie's Juicy didn't come in until, what, 95 or 96? So it's like, why did they choose? I think it's just getting the hype up, Herbs. Look what they did with the Black Panther one, and they brought out, you know, Run the Jewels, and they used that track, and that really got everyone hyped up for the movie. But that song never showed up on the soundtrack or even in the movie. So I think right now all they're really doing is trying to capture everyone's ears by saying, hey, this is a 90s movie, let's play some 90s music. Yes, though the timeline didn't work, I think it's just trying to get people hyped up for the movie.
Trans Warp Key. They went to the future and got Biggie and DMX.
They got the licenses for that.
They got the future mixtape. That's what happened.
See?
Actual mixtape, you're pressing buttons too. You're pressing buttons right there. All right. Well, that's all I have for tonight, you guys. I think overall, you know, it seems split down the middle, down the panel here, that some of us liked it, some of us are kind of like waiting for something else. For me, it definitely captured my nostalgia. And I'm looking forward to the movie. I'm with Luke. I think I'm just gonna go into this, you know, just popcorn flicking it. I'm not gonna think too hard about this one like I did before. I think we've kind of learned certain movies we just have to adjust our expectations for.
Just enjoy it.
Go in and have fun. Yeah, and just go in and have fun. You know, and not worry about like a, you know, whole universe building type movie. Just go in and have fun with some of these movies and lower those expectations. All right, so let's go ahead and end this. Red.
Score it?
Red. Oh, what's the score? What's the score?
Oh, you want to score it on your thoughts of the trailer.
Oh, that's right. Comic book score. Comic book. That's right. So, TJ, what we do here is we grade trailers and whatnot based off of a comic book grading system. You know, so 9.8, 9.4, 9.6. So, okay. So since you're our guest tonight, TJ, I'm gonna go ahead and start off with you, my friend. On a comic book grading system, what do you give this trailer?
I am going to give it a near mint minus. I think that's like a 9.2.
9.2, okay.
Yeah, it would have been higher, but y'all pointed out the discrepancy in the music. And and I'm a doc at least 0.2 for all of the Rat Trap fans that can't get any Rat Trap in their life. I don't even know the significance of Rat Trap. But if I don't know anything else, I know from the fans that Rat Trap is missing, and apparently that is blasphemous.
Yeah, he was kind of like the Starscream of that group. He was kind of ratty and kind of like, you know, slithering, kind of gross. And he was kind of like the Starscream of that, like always kind of like undermining Megatron. And
in that case, maybe they're hiding him. He's hiding out and doing his underhanded thing, and since he is a rat, he might be small and you didn't see him a couple of times on screen. Yeah. Maybe that's what that is.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
But yeah, 9.2.
9.2. Luke, what do you give the trailer?
Oh, 8.0.
8.0. Wow. Kind of hurts my feelings, but okay. I get it though. I get it. Red's gonna piss me off, isn't he? Well,
overall enthusiasm 6.0, but the trailer itself, I give it a 9.0 because it pops with all the music and the action and CGI, but it's like another Michael Bay music video. Like, you know, you get the nice, you know, panning camera views, the people running, the Fast and Furious road rage kind of shit going on. So yeah, the enthusiasm is 6, but I know on the trailer.
Man, dude. Okay, then I'm totally fanboying it because I'm giving it a 9.6. Wow. Because there are discrepancies, right? Like the music, yes. Fucking Wheeljack, they did my boy wrong with Wheeljack's design.
I forgot about Wheeljack.
Wheeljack's design's terrible. Scourge looks like a Bionicle. You know, we don't get enough Predacons, or we do in that final battle, and I think that they're more like minions and Insecticons rather than like an actual faction that matters.
Let me answer real quick. Is Wheeljack supposed to be like a Maynard kind of design?
Wheeljack, he was kind of like a sports car, and then he had like this cool like green and white
truck, like Maynard now.
Yeah. Oh no. He's more like a VW van. Okay. In this one, you know, like the stupid twins that they had in one of the movies, like kind of like that. Kind of like that.
Upgrade time.
They did the see they did Wheeljack, they did my boy role. But however, RC, Optimus, Unicron, the Maximals, their design are absolutely fantastic in my opinion. So I have high hopes and I'm looking forward to it. And it captured my heart with their design. So I'm giving it a 9.6. And I'm pretty sure I'm gonna have my heart broken when the movie comes out, but it's all right because I'm looking. Yeah.
Speaking of RC, one very underrated, but my favorite, probably my favorite part of the trailer is when she rides, I think it's Rhinox, is that his name? When mm-hmm. she rides Rhinox and kind of does this backwards flip and comes out shooting and I don't know who that is she's back to back with. Or I guess
that was Wheeljack. That was Wheeljack.
Yeah, yeah. that pose and that action, I think I enjoyed more than anything else in the trailer, except hearing Unicron's name.
Yeah.
Wait, that pose, that back to back pose, like they did in the Bad Boys, where both.
Yeah. I was gonna say.
Bad Boys. What you gonna do?
That is a cool Michael.
And then we're just gonna say from now on. No, RC has to say it. From now on, that's how you shoot.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I'm hoping to get some of the cool lines right there. All right. Well, that's it for the show tonight. Thank you so much to our guest, TJ, Mr. Flash by Night, down at the bottom. TJ, do me a favor. Let everyone know how they can find you on your socials.
You can find me at Flash by Night Comics on Instagram, on TikTok. TikTok's really good because if I don't have time to post anything or shoot anything, I can just throw up a picture and some music or something and have a little fun with the community. But yeah, Flash by Night Comics on Instagram and TikTok and YouTube, of course.
There you go. Red, what about you? How can people find you on the socials?
You can find me on OnlyFans under Red and, you know, just search for me there. Go ahead and see this villainous Red on Instagram. And you can find me and Mercury's and First Appearance Comics helping Luke on his sales.
Yeah, and then speaking about those sales, Luke, where can people find you for those sales?
Yeah, come check us out, RKFA Comics. Selling books every week, baby.
Love it. I absolutely love it. And, of course, you can find me at E-Man's World of Geek here on YouTube and on Instagram. Go ahead and follow us. Give us all a follow, you guys, and you know, come in, hang out and chat with us.
Right, hit the bell on our channel here. For hit the bell, subscribe.
There you go. Make sure you guys like and subscribe.
We're back. Well, I don't know in capacity, but we'll be back.
we're going to come back. And then, of course, I'm changing the studio. Like this big blue wall, there's going to be stuff up here. I don't know what. I know there's going to be a PlayStation and a couple of VR headsets going to be hanging from the wall.
Oh, going to glow under black light.
It looks like the Tesseract right now.
Right there. Ah. Right there.
See? You have the power.
I got it. All right, you guys. Thanks for hanging out. Until the next time.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the Seedless Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at seedlessvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, Seedless Villains and Seedless Villains Podcast. Lastly, follow the villains on their separate IG accounts, at Luke Weeks, at C-List Villainous Red, at C-List E-Man, and I am at AJ the Comic Collector. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you all next episode.